And we're back with the second half of Prepare for Freedom. This is Sharon and Billy Bob back at you for another half an hour. And we've got a very special guest for you this half hour. And we want to tell you all about her. Her name is Nellie Jacobs. She's an award-winning artist, best-selling author, broadcaster, and trend-setting creativity consultant. Nellie Jacobs is dedicated to helping people of all ages realize their creative potential. Through her television and radio shows, speaking engagements, and books, she's been a catalyst for creative thinking and change who jumpstarts the process of self-examination. For years, Nellie has served on the steering committee of World Creativity and Innovation Week, which was April 15th to 21st, and she's a member of Presenter to the Creativity Coaching Association. She's a former elementary school teacher, and her first book, Grading the Teacher, A Parent's Guide, published by Penguin Books in 1996, became a bestseller, featured by national and local media. She's recently published two books for creative thinking. Yes, I think you're going to be hearing about creative thinking today. The books are Magical Mouse Painting, A Tool for Computer Creativity. That book is currently available as an ebook. And there's another book she's got, which I'm sure she's going to want to talk to you more about, called Making Opportunity Knock. It's the first volume of a self-help series offering inspiration to individual readers, just like you and me. Now, I could tell you a lot more about her, but I think I'm going to let Nellie go ahead and come on and just say hello. Hello, Nellie.
Hello, Sharon. How are you? And hello, Billy Bob.
Oh, hello there. How are you doing today?
I'm good, and thanks so much for having me on this show.
Oh, you're quite welcome and all. I'm glad you came on the show and all. I understand that you have a story about letting go. Would you like to share that with us?
Oh, you're talking about my experience last year. Specific experience. Last January of 2010, my husband of 42 years had sudden kidney failure. We really didn't know what was going on, and at one point I thought actually he was going to die. As a result of the kidney failure, he had to go on dialysis. Dialysis three times a week, and then we looked into the possibility of finding somebody who could be a donor. And in the process, I had my blood tested, and it turned out, and I don't know that it's by chance because I don't think it's by chance, it turned out that I had exactly the same blood type as he did, and neither of us actually knew what our blood type was until that all happened. As a result, I went for further testing over many, many months and discovered that I was a match.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, I bet you that was a surprise.
I have to say, though, when I did discover it, I can't say I was jumping for joy because I thought, oh, my God. I was scared. He and I had a conversation just before, about a month before our surgeries, which took place on November the 25th of this past year in 2010. He overheard me speaking with someone, because I tend to be quite open about my fears. And he said he didn't understand why I was afraid. And I said, they're going to come in. I'm going to surgery that I don't need. And they're going to cut my body. And, of course, I'm afraid. And, you know, obviously, as much as we were assured that all would be well, you never know if something could happen. And, of course, I was afraid. And then he understood it. And we did go in for our surgeries. However, in terms of your title, Letting Go, there came a point early on in the year when we were so caught up with the events of what was happening. And with what he was going through, and of course I went through all of this emotionally with him too, there came a point where I said to him, you know, this cannot be who we are about. We are way, way, way beyond all of this. This is something that happened. Let us learn to cope with it. We will cope with it. It is not who we are. It's something that happened. And let's let go of it. And that's what we chose to do. He's excellent at coming to decisions like that as well. And that's the time that it was during that period of time that I decided that I would put a lot of my effort into completing two books that I'd been working on because I felt they were so important in terms of helping other people. And that became my focus because we also had to go through periods of isolation. Before surgery, because I wanted to make sure that I didn't catch a cold or that I would not be sick, because otherwise the surgery would be postponed. And then right afterwards, we both of us had to be in our home for a month. And I decided to make opportunity knock for myself by continuing to writing this book, Making Opportunity Knock, which was not based, by the way, on my experiences. It was something that I had been working on before.
Okay, I got a question for you, Nellie.
Go ahead.
It's kind of a rhyme that I made up, but I want to see what you think of it. Is mm-hmm. it true that letting go lets the creative juices flow? What is creative thinking anyway?
Wow, that's an excellent question. Creative thinking is, the rhyme is a good rhyme. Creative thinking is about the whole process of thinking creatively. It's about doing things in different ways than what you're used to doing. It's about doing new things. And it could even be about eating with a different hand and then changing your way of thinking as a result of it. Yes, letting go. Reread that poem again. I just want to, there was something about it. Just reread that poem if you don't mind.
Sure. Letting go lets the creative juices flow.
Yes. I just wanted to refer back to Billy Bob's joke earlier at the very beginning of the show, and it made me remember something. First of all, you were talking about taking responsibility and the maturity of taking onto your own shoulders your life. And so in order to move forward, it's the maturity of growing up and letting go of all whatever the burdens are that you've carried so that you can move forward. And there was a phrase that I continually carry with me, and that's, if you continue to do what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always got. If you want to change what you're getting, you have to change what you're doing. You have to change your perspective. In one of my presentations, one of the slides that I do is one about the fact that we are defined, limited, or expanded by so many things, like, for example, what we think about ourselves, what we think about others. In my opinion, one of the ways that we can grow is by developing more insight into ourselves. And also, when we learn more about other people and who they are and what they are in deeper ways than many of us do, where we just don't talk about events, but we actually talk about issues, where we're more honest with each other. The more we learn about others, the more we learn about ourselves. So we are defined, limited, and expanded also by the perceptions and demands of our family, of our social groups, our belief systems, our society. There's so many ways. It's our own, even our own history. Billy Bob, you're talking about your history, and also you, Sharon. We are defined, limited, or expanded by our history. It's what we do with that history. Can you learn something with it, from it? You can't change your history, but you can change your perception of it or your understanding of it, or you can apply it in very creative ways. You can write a play about it. You can talk about it. You can think about it. You can talk to members of your family about that history and maybe even sharing it in a way that makes you understand things. When you talk about forgiveness earlier, it's very difficult to forgive someone unless you can apply to yourself your own, like, I guess, human foibles. I mean, how perfect are we as human beings? Where is it that we come from? We can only, as you said earlier about, you can't change history. Of course, you can understand it better, but you can change what your future is. And it's true. It's in many ways, it's in your own hands. It depends on how you choose to do that and what tools you bring to that. So you had also mentioned about friends and family and, you know, turning to them and turning to your faith. Those are ways, too. There are therapists who can help you. There are readings that can help you. You can be part of a group that will help you expand and explore. Because I think exploring and questioning are two ways that you can, or they're interconnected, ways that you can learn more about the world and about yourself. I just could go on like this for hours. Did you?
Yeah, you just said a mouthful right there.
I just can keep on talking about all that because there are so many ways in which there are so many tools that we have and so many ways that are available and can be available to us for learning how to move forward, for learning how to understand ourselves more, for learning how to connect with people, to learn how to forgive because if we can turn to ourselves and think of the ways in which we could be improving ourselves and our relationships, and then think about where our parents and whoever it is that harmed us, where do they come from? What are the reasons that they did what they did? I don't think that it's always evil or it can come out of, people who've never grown up, immaturity. It can come out of a lot of their own pain. And the trick for us is to take the knowledge that we can glean from our personal experiences and change that for ourselves for the future. It's not just talking about it, it's getting the tools, finding the tools that will help us. That can be in people, that can be in reading, that can be in therapists, that can be in going to our religious institutions. It can be any of that. But it's a matter of learning more about ourselves, because I think that the one thing that we need more is insight, and the other thing is also communication. I think a lot of people do not know the communication skills on how to interact in a deeper way with each other.
I agree with that.
Yes, and a lot of people don't know how the people in their lives and the people that they meet, that the rich resources that they have surrounding them that they can use and call upon, because people don't communicate with each other or many of us think that what has happened to us only happens to us as individuals, and we are one of millions that have had the same kind of thing. If only we could share our stories and share our experiences and learn how to understand them so that we can then apply them in better ways. How can we become better people? And by opening up all of that, we become more creative thinking.
Very true. Nellie, mm-hmm. Sharon would tell me about you're a minor, not M-I-N-E-R.
Yes.
Yes.
It is a minor. Yes. About mining our resources. Yeah. I have, like, the series of books, I've given them the overall thing about mining our resources. And the resources I'm talking about are all these things which I mentioned. It's our history, it's our body, our minds, our experiences, the society in which we live, you know, the opinions that people have, our cultures, our customs, all of that. It's also the people who are in our lives and those who are the experts. There's a social network. There's so many places that we can go to for learning more about the world, as I said before, is a bigger world, and also about ourselves. And I think it's really important to learn about other people. Somebody once used a phrase which I thought was really interesting, and it's autobiographical listening. And that she's referring to people who ask questions of others, not because they're really interested in what the other person is saying, because they're really opening it for themselves to talk about themselves. And really, what can you learn about yourself that's not already in your head?
Nothing. I don't have a mind.
Right. Well, you can do your readings, you can do your learning about all of that. But people out there can teach you a lot. You have to learn how to be quiet. You've talked about that before also, how to be quiet and how to listen and how to get the information. I'm not saying using people at all. It's about connecting with people.
That can be such a fine line sometimes between using and connecting.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you specifically, since we don't want to manipulate people, you mentioned some of your accomplishments, and I'd like to, if you would, to please to kind of zero in on how you got opportunity to knock for you. We're used to hearing how opportunity is, I guess it's kind of fickle, it goes around and knocks where it wants. Well, you're saying that we can actually get opportunity to knock for us. I'm curious. I'd love to hear more about that.
Do you want to know about me or for the listeners?
Both, actually.
Okay. Let's just off the cuff. One way is letting one thing lead to another. For example, becoming a guest on your show, I responded to someone on LinkedIn, Myra, on LinkedIn about another show, and she then suggested that you would be interested in having me come on the show as well. Now, I didn't have to reach out or respond. It's a point of taking of an opportunity presenting itself, looking at it and saying, wow, that could work. It's the point of using the line, what if? What if I do this? What could happen? Like, what could be the worst thing that happened? You know, so it's like one thing leading into another. I mean, my whole life really is one thing leading into another. I have it actually on my website. I was a teacher. And then I became a parent, and then I went back to school when my kids were young. And meanwhile, I was collecting all this information about good teachers. And I collected that and wrote up something for a proposal for a column. The column was rejected by our major newspaper, but the woman who rejected it, the senior editor, suggested I make it into something bigger. So the next thing I knew, I was actually writing a book. And the book became Grading the Teacher, which, you know, through someone, I met someone who was an agent, and that agent tried to sell it and was very frustrated that she couldn't. And then I happened to pass it through someone onto Penguin Books, and it was taken. The very person who rejected my original article is asked my publisher, Penguin, if she could be the first to write about it when it was published in September of 1996, at the very beginning of the school year. She wanted to be the first of the media, and I was interviewed by media, all the major media, all the way across the country. And so it all came around. It's about not being afraid to take the leap. It's about not being afraid, even if you make a fool of yourself. And I have
good
done
point.
That time and again. Again, I have made a fool of myself, and I say to myself, am I crazy? Why am I doing this? And I pick myself up and I keep on going. And that very thing that I made a fool of myself with ends up being something major somewhere else because an opportunity presented itself. It's about having your eyes open, about saying how, rather than saying I can't, I won't. Even the thing where you say I'll try, try is a hesitant. It's almost a negative. What you ask instead is, how can it be possible? And what if?
Mm-hmm.
And you move from there. I mean, the two of you are doing this wonderful radio show. Here it is. You're sending out your hearts to people because you feel what you're doing is important.
And like you say, one thing leads to another. We have no idea where this is going to lead or who's listening.
Absolutely. I did a presentation, and I have to admit it, and I've been doing these for years. I did a presentation to a group of 50 people last month, and I did it a different way, and I did it not according to my heart. I did it because I felt it was something I was going to try, and it failed. I failed miserably in front of 50 people who were strangers, who were wonderful. The group was terrific. That same presentation that I developed for them ended up being a pitch for a major international company that is considering collaborating with me. That very same presentation that I worked my heart out, which turned out to be wrong for that group of 50, ended up being right for three people in an international company.
Wow.
So what? I don't know if it'll go anywhere. It may or may not. I'm just thinking for myself, it's a journey that I'm on where I am being creative, and I hope that I'm helping inspire other people to think about what they're doing and think about things in new ways, to be more creative thinking in new ways. That means actually identifying what your wall of fear is. Is it, you know, a fear of failure, fear of success, whatever it is. Walk through that wall, identify it, and deal with it in whichever way you want. I still have all these fears, but I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts. there's a compulsion. I keep on doing these things, you know. I know my kids think I'm nuts. You know, there's this driving force within me that I have that identify things in other people that I want other people to share. I like connecting people, and that's a lot of what I do. The stories in Grading the Teacher, which was published in 1996, are other people's stories. And I put them together in a way that hopefully, I do believe it was a bestseller, it helped a lot of other people. And someone just recently, on September the 29th, created a blog based on that book. And we're Twittering and tweeting away now. I just happened to discover it. So this is 13 years later. You don't know what you are doing, how it can affect other people. And that also is part of it in terms of being very positive, that you have to be careful of what you do in terms of how it affects other people. Understand your words, understand how you're saying things, and be gentle. You said that earlier in the show about being gentle.
Oh, yes, that's so important. Thank you.
Yeah, it is. But you weren't going crazy or nuts. I'm the only nutcase here. I mean, I don't have no sense at all. People tell me that all the time. They tell me my brain is just fried.
Last week he said he sold it on eBay. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I sold it for
$2. I heard that one. But I'll tell you something. There's something really special about being nuts, and to tell the truth, I seem to be gathering nuts into my nest. I really like it. I think that people who are nuts, I think people who are nuts are really special people. Because I think that a lot of people, it's like what I said before, that we are defined, limited, expanded. What we think about ourselves, what we think about others. And the other part is what other people think about us, but not only about what other people think about us, but what we think they think about us. So there's a point where we start building these little walls around ourselves so we don't want to step out of these walls. Forget it. Let them all go. Years ago when I heard about the, thinking out of the box, when I started hearing that phrase about thinking out of the box, I thought, what box are they talking about? It never occurred to me there was anything that was a box. I mean, my brain goes everywhere. I just thought that everybody else thought the same way. The fact is that I really did. I mean, I was a kindergarten teacher. I used to see these kids and the way they were thought and the way they went. And then years later, I see these children who were slowly refining themselves, and their creative thinking was limiting because they were concerned about what their peers would say. And, it really hurt me. And that's why I do, you know, the work that I do is to help people think more creatively. I really don't believe there is a box. I think that whatever that box is, it's a limit that we put on ourselves that develops over the years. And sometimes we listen to people who we shouldn't listen to. We should just go for it.
Yeah, you got a good point there and everything. The thinking out of the box, like you said, it's just a phrase and all, but a lot of people don't look at it like that.
I just heard someone who told me that she met a woman, she was in a woman's house, who turned to her and said very proudly, "I like thinking inside the box." And I thought, what is she talking about? What does that mean? Why would anybody be proud of something like that? But I guess that's where she feels comfortable. And I don't even know what box she's thinking in, you know.
If that alone is
something that, you know, room for discussion.
Do you have a very important piece of advice that you would like to give our listeners today?
Something they can take away with them.
Yeah, like something they can think about.
I guess the advice that I would give to people is that insight is essential for growth. And acceptance, of course, but also curiosity. Be curious. Question. Learn. Do. Do something different. Let go of patterns. Let go of old habits. Do something different. So that's all part of it. It's a long one.
You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like you're inviting us to go back to kindergarten. That sounds like fun.
Well, that's actually true.
That is true. It is to go back to kindergarten and have fun. Paint with your hands. Well, try and do it on
finger
your own.
Paint.
Yeah, I did do
finger
I did
paint.
That a lot.
Jump. Just go outside. Jump. Sing to yourself. Who cares if your voice? Well, my voice is terrible.
You know, do all these things. I mean, I went through this this past year. I was scared out of my mind. We've sailed through it. My husband's a very happy man. He could kiss my feet now, and he's doing really well. And I keep thinking about that, like, how did that change me? And one of the things that, for me, was the I just let go of the fear. I was scared, but I just let it go, and I went and did it. I mean, never in a million years would I have ever thought in my growing up and early adult years that I would have been put in such a position. It's not something I would have ever dreamed of, and I passed it.
Well, you are one amazing lady, Nellie, and I just want to give you just a couple of minutes more. Please tell our listeners briefly how and where they can find you and purchase your books so they know, again, who you are, where to find you. We want to make sure that.
Thank you. All my information is on www.ignitingimagination.com. You can even do www.nelliejacobs.com. It's NELLIEJACOBS. Everything is on there. All kinds of things are on my website in terms of connecting, and also the different products and services. I want to thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Any last words, Billy Bob?
Yeah, I really enjoyed having you on there and everything. So you did a real good job. In fact, really, I enjoyed listening to you and all. But, you know, I'm trying to put a Facebook together, a fan club and everything. Can you picture that on Facebook, me?
The Billy Bob fan club?
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
That sounds like creative thinking to me.
I think so. Even learning how to do that is a creative project.
Yeah, but people tell me I've still got to go get my brain back off of eBay.
I think you're right, Billy Bob.
But really enjoyed the show and all. We'd be glad to have you back anytime.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Having me on.
You're quite welcome. God bless you. Miss Producer over there.
Yes, I think it's time to wrap up this show. And we just want you to know we care. And we hope you will be aware, care, and prepare for freedom. That's what we're helping you prepare for.
God bless you.
See you next week.